Good morning, church.
Morning.
I'm glad to be here. As you know, I'm candidating at the Cantonese. I thought a translation service would be provided. So I'm sorry. You don't. I'll try my best. Today is Easter Sunday. Yesterday we have egg hunt. And it's a lot of fun. My kids were a little older, but egg hunt's always fun. But as we gather this morning, Jesus is who we want to worship and uplift. Jesus, just the name Jesus, embedded in our culture. I was born in Hong Kong, so when I came here, I heard many things about Jesus, but it's not about Jesus. I hear people language that including Jesus there. At some point, I was wondering, are they Christian? Why they mention Jesus all the time? But the way that they convey is not very nice. Oh, I learned something new. And then sometime I went to shop and I see people name tag and I attempt to call him Jesus. And soon I realized that J doesn't pronounce as J but H. So I'm glad that I learned it early in my time when I came to America. But it was a very interesting moment to realize that how Jesus is embedded in culture. And sometimes I hear, well, I actually saw that first, WWJD. What would Jesus do? So when we think about what would Jesus do, what do you think about? Sometimes we have a lot of imagination and creativity to what would Jesus do. So if now we imagine a picture of Jesus, do we have a picture of Jesus here? We don't, all right? As a pastor in church, we usually don't have a picture of Jesus, but picture of Jesus is not wrong in a sense. It helps us to meditate, because in the old days, the Bible is not common. So that's why the pictures of the biblical scenes was put on the wall so that people would know the story easier. But when we think about Jesus, the books about Jesus, pictures that we usually imagine or looking at him as a nice guy with some beard, with sandal, open arms and always nice to kids, and or holding a sheep, that type of Jesus. But oh, I made the same mistake as I'm so excited. do I have my PowerPoint here? Thank you. Oh, no. It was the, okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, that's good. All right, it was, okay. Technology, we want to use technology and hope that we don't so rely on technology. And thank you, brothers in the back. So today we want to know Jesus. This passage shows us in order to truly know Jesus, you must first abandon your bias on Jesus. Then accept how the scriptures describe Christ so that you will have reverence for him and be willing to follow him as your Lord and Savior. So this is a simple message topic. Maybe you look at it and you already tell me, I know this. Yes, I know you know, and that is why you're here. But knowing Jesus is something very simple, and yet We always want to find a little deeper on understanding who Jesus is. Oh. I hope it doesn't go wrong again. Today, the passage is in Mark chapter 16, 1 to 8. It starts with, when the Sabbath was passed. So sometimes when we read the scriptures, a lot of days and time and festival that we are not used to. Well, Christian, we're used to Christmas and Easter. Unfortunately, both terms are not in the Bible. So we are trying to mapping out what's going on first and second. So I try my best to try to put a timeline here. I know it is kind of small, but I hope that you can get a simple idea. On the very right, it's Wednesday. Why I started that? Because it looks like a Wednesday to you, but in fact, that is the night, the beginning of Thursday. So Jewish count and how we count is different. So we count the next day on 12 a.m. at night, midnight. But the Jewish count the day from the starting from 6 p.m. So, yes, you were celebrating Friday, Good Friday service. That is actually already Saturday, the time that we started. So when Jesus have his Passover meal, it is on our calendar Thursday night. And when he, but because it is a dinner, it really depends on what time you have dinner. So if you start your dinner at 5, you end at 6, yes, you are basically done on the, you're fine with Friday. But if you, on Thursday, if you eat a little longer and it passed 6 o'clock, so you actually have the meal for 2 days already. So I hope you kind of follow along. Passover meal is on our calendar Thursday night, but it's actually already past Friday. It's part of Friday already. And what makes it more significant is that night, Jesus was arrested and went to trial and prayer. All that happened on our Thursday nights, but it's actually considered Friday already because it's already past 6 o'clock. Okay? So if you follow along, then the night Jesus was trialed and for the whole night, and then the next morning, they sent Jesus to Pilate, and that is in our calendar, Friday early morning. And then you know the story, Jesus was crucified. And the important time is they have to tuck Jesus down because it is a day of preparation before the Sabbath. Remember that passage? So they took him down before the Sabbath so that they won't pass 6 o'clock to Sabbath. So in our calendar, it's Friday night after 6 o'clock, consider the Sabbath day. So Sabbath day, and to our passage today, is the morning of Sunday, the first day of the week. So that's why it said when the Sabbath was passed. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. So these women, they missed Jesus a lot. They were with Jesus for a long time, and especially in chapter 15 and 16, the scripture mentioned they were there when Jesus was crucified. So they saw Jesus was crucified, and they know where Jesus was buried. But they're supposed to be rest on Sabbath, and that's why after Sabbath, they went to see Jesus. But to their surprise, Jesus was not there. So I don't know whether you ever try to meet up, go visit a friend, but they are not home. You may, oh, what a bummer, he's not home. But you may not expect that, but that's reasonable because people do move out from their house from time to time. But now put our thinking in this lady's mind. I don't expect Jesus will move. I don't expect Jesus will move, and guess what? Someone's greeted them. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw the stone were being had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. If you're going to buy a house, you will expect an agent there. Even if it's an empty house, you expect the agent will greet you. But you visit a tomb, you don't expect a dead body is not there, and you don't expect and someone is greeting you. And he welcoming you in and tell you, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He was risen. He is not here. See the place where he laid him. Check it out. See this empty tomb. Wow. It blows their mind. I put a little subtitle here, abandoning your bias on Jesus. Bias, I use this word here. I'm not conveying any bad thinking about this, but I'm conveying your incomplete thinking about this. Your thinking is biased by your background, by the culture, by everything surrounding you, and the way that we think about Jesus is not complete, is not accurate. And sometimes it becomes not biblical. These women know Jesus well. They follow Jesus. However, they have not yet truly known Jesus. Their view of Jesus became their bias to truly know that, to truly know him. What bias do they have? Do you know what they usually call Jesus? Teacher. He's a great teacher. And if they expect, they even expect Jesus to be the Messiah, Christ, come to Jerusalem. The people welcoming him. Come to the Jerusalem to rescue us, save us, Hosanna, Hosanna. They expect the Messiah to come to rescue them, to drive the Romans, the Gentile out from our land. We need to restore our glorious kingdom just like how David was. We need to rebuild our temple to worship our God. That is their mindset. So when Jesus died and other great prophets die, prophets, kings, Moses, David, Elijah, where are they? They're all dead. So Jesus, great, we love him, but he's dead. What can we do? So they scatter, and the loving woman, they try to pay their respects and try to come here to anoint Jesus with perfume. their past idea about man, people, teacher, kings, prophets, became their bias of looking at Jesus. So what about you? We also have background. We also have view of Jesus. Question is your view accurate? Is your view biblical? What influenced your view? As the word Jesus or the idea of Christianity embedded in culture, it also brings us dangerous. The danger of who should I listen to? Sometimes our understanding of Jesus is not from the scripture. A lot of times it's from the song. That's why song is very important. As we are singing and praising God, is the word of the songs accurately describe who Christ is? Or it is the creativity of the artist trying to make another emphasis on this part or that part? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying that they're not good. I'm just saying that whether those becomes our bias of knowing Jesus. And Jesus is going to give this lady a lesson here. They are going to experience know Jesus in the next level. Well, how can you say this? Because these ladies are experiencing Jesus the way that you never experienced Jesus before. Oh, I can say never. You will experience Jesus in some way in the heaven. But at least in our experience now, we experience Jesus by reading his word, by the illumination from the Holy Spirit. But I honestly never talked to Jesus directly as in person. I never see Jesus in person. So these ladies, they talk to him. They eat with him. So they have experience that you and I do not have. But they have missing something because of their bias. They can't comprehend what's going on. So how Jesus is going to help them? So we got to abandon the bias from our own and try to understand who Jesus really is. That is his resurrection. Let me skip to, what do you have? Okay, verse 7 here. So the ladies went to the tomb and the angel was trying to tell them what's going on. So the angel said in verse 7, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." Pay attention to the last few words here. "Just as he told you." Oh, after all, it is not a surprise. It was not a surprise that Jesus was not here. In Luke, it was recorded that now they remember what Jesus said as the angel was explaining to them. So everything Jesus already told them. In fact, in Mark, starting from chapter 8, Jesus already told them that he is going to die and will resurrect it. And Jesus went on to with his disciple to the village of Caesarea. So in the chapter 8, Jesus told them that he is going to be buried and he is going to raise again in 3 days. These ladies come to try to annoy him, but they already did it
in chapter 14, verse 8. Jesus says, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. So all the ritual is already completed. You don't have to do it now. I'm not here. I'm not going to be here. And he said in 14:28, but after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Oh, suddenly their eyes are open. They bring down their own bias and now they know it. They know something that they already been told, but they could not believe it. Their eyes were open now so they can accept, they can know Jesus directly from what he said. And we have to correct our view to come back to the Word of God to know who Jesus really is. The woman could not fully believe what Jesus said. The Word of God is good, but it was hard to believe, isn't it? We all know God's Word is good. We need to study it. But there are things that are really difficult to believe. Can you believe a person who never married with another person? She's a virgin, but able to give birth. That is a virgin birth. Can you believe a person who actually died, but missing in the temple, is missing in the tomb, but not somebody stole it, but he raised from the dead? And he appeared in front of different people, and eventually he went to the heaven. Can you believe that? Those are the hardest thing to believe in the Bible. If you asking for a miracle, this is the greatest miracle. And we should not take it lightly. Sometimes when we read these passages, it is so familiar to us, we skip them. I know it, Jesus died and raised on the cross. All the kids in the church know this. They can sing it so well. And yet, this is the key. This is the foundation of our faith. Can you believe what the Bible say about God, about Jesus? Then you expanded it. Can you believe how God made the earth? Can you believe how God will recreate the earth at the very end time? These are all biblical truth, and honestly, not a very difficult passage to understand because they were clear. But it's just too hard to comprehend. So people try to come up with different ideas to try to interpret so that it makes sense to me. Well, guess what? Virgin birth will never make sense to me. Resurrection will never make sense to me. That's a survey done by Ligonier Ministry to ask people whether people agree with this statement. So they asked this question or this statement to the general populations, as well as the evangelical. The general population, the statement is, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. Well, that makes sense. Jesus was a great teacher. But if you need to believe Jesus is also God, that takes faith. Because that's what the scriptures say. It doesn't make sense. I used to remember when I go to this FOF, a Fundamental of Faith class, they always talk about Jesus is God, fully man, and Jesus is fully God. And all right, okay, understand. But that doesn't make sense. Yes, it doesn't make sense. But this is what the scriptures say. Do you believe it? And guess what the general American believe? In a few years ago, from this survey, 53% of the people choose somewhat agree or strongly agree with that statement. So they agree, they believe Jesus was a good, great teacher, but he was not God. Well, if you ask general public, it's actually understandable because the Islam is going to agree with that, and other people with whatever religious background probably will agree with that as well. Now, the hot seat is on the evangelical. Is this church evangelical? Oh, I'm putting everyone on you in a very hot seat now. Are you evangelical? So now let's do a survey. I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. Guess how many percentage of people actually agree with that statement? 43%. Evangelical! We're not even talking about the whole big group of Christianity. Yeah, some of them go liberal and all that. Yeah, I got it. But evangelical, they are claiming to be evangelical means that they at least read the Bible. But they somehow, 43% of this survey, I actually try not to agree or believe this survey. It just blow my mind. All the churches that I go to evangelical, I don't think this is the result. 43%. I'm wondering where these people go. Why do they even want to identify themselves as evangelical? Jesus is not only a good teacher. Jesus is God. And he can die and he was raised from the dead. The resurrection of Christ is the most important miracle after all. Now, the ladies, fully experienced now. They finally know, yes, Jesus is risen. Yes, I remember now. That is what Jesus said. We don't need to remember, we just need to read it and know it and believing it. Can you fully believe and accept the Jesus in the Bible? That is faith. Jesus' resurrection tells us Jesus is omnipotent, all-powerful. And at the same time, he loves us personally. He is our personal God. So having the right knowledge of Jesus will draw the right feeling in your heart. Usually, in our culture, part of the bias is we only put Jesus as the loving, kind Jesus. Rightly so. Rightly so. Jesus is loving. He is kind. But look at this passage here, how the lady responded to this event. So first, in verse 5 and 6, their response was alarm, and the angel, the young man, tell them that do not be alarmed. Don't need to fear. Well, If you go to a tomb and try to see the dead body, but the dead body is not here, everybody will be fear. Understandable, normal. But this is not the fear they are going to respond. The ultimate fear, I'll call it. Verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Wow, just one verse, the action tell you that they were afraid, they fled from the tomb. Two words, their trembling and astonishment. They were the shaking and wonder what's going on here. And the final comment was, the final comment is, they were afraid. If you're reading your ESV Bible, it has a little bracket there. It says some of the earliest manuscripts do not include 16:9-20. So manuscript is how the Bible was written copy, back then there's no Xerox machine, so people are writing and passed down. And the earliest script that we found doesn't have 9-20. That means it ends in verse 8. If we understand it correctly, if it does end at verse 8, this is Mark's original intent for people, for us, for the reader after reading the Gospel of Mark, for the Gospel according to Mark. He wants people to know that knowing Christ should be, you should be afraid, or using another word, fear. This word is actually familiar to you. It is derived from the Greek. It is phobia. Jesus' phobia. Doesn't sound too right, right? But that is the reaction that Mark wants you to not miss. However, our culture totally misses it. How oftentimes when you think about Jesus, you actually tremble and fear. We read the Old Testament, Jehovah, we fear. God, Yahweh, whoa, he killed. But when we go to Jesus, New Testament, he's the loving, nice guy approaching kids. We don't fear Jesus. But pay attention to Mark. Because it is actually how Mark wanted to stir up the idea of fear throughout the Gospel of Mark. In 122, they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. He taught and people fear, astonished about his teaching. Wow, he's different. Not like all the other teachers at that time. When Jesus calmed the sea, the disciples said, and that Mark described, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, that is a fascinating passage because the fishermen, the disciple fishermen, were so afraid when they were on the boat. And when they were on the boat, because the storm is coming up, oh, they're so afraid. So they wake Jesus up, and now Jesus performed a great miracle. His miracle is simple. Just to calm the sea. And then the sea stopped. And that create greater fear. Who is this person? And I have to skip some, but at the end, it is last verse in the Gospel of Mark, and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment has seized them. This is a very interesting way of describing them. But the fear, trembling, astonishment, the inner person's feeling seems to control them. Think about this idea. Think about this idea. How much we often controlled by our fear. Why do we park correctly on the street? Was that out of love? or out of fear. I do not want to have tickets. As I was earlier in my time when I was here learning to drive. Learning to drive is fun, it's not that hard, but learning to park has a lot of anxiety. Because if you misread the sign, you will have a gift. And I just had one a few weeks ago. I was experienced now. I know read the sign. But, so oftentimes we know love give people great motivation, and rightly so. But what about fear? We often miss that part in our living and making decision. We actually make a lot of decision because we are fear. You heard the word peer pressure. What is peer pressure? Peer pressure is not about you loving your people. Peer pressure is about you're afraid of how people are looking at you. You want to just do what people do. Fear drives us to make decisions. So, today, as we know Jesus in another angle of looking at Jesus, I'm not saying loving Jesus, love Jesus is not right. But if you only love Jesus and not fear of Jesus, you are missing Jesus. Looking at Jesus and the fear of Jesus, in fact, would drive us to have the reverence of who Jesus is. And drive us to worship Him correctly. And drive us to love Him correctly. What kind of fear control you? Was that your past, your family of origin, your family, your mom, your dad, or someone you hate, or someone you afraid to not making them happy? Usually for parents, that equal to children. Oh, we can upset the children. We want the children to be happy. That's a lot of time drive the parenting of the parents. What kind of fear control is controlling you today? Is the fear of Jesus control you? And guess what? If you fear, put the right fear to God through Jesus, it translates everything else. They tell you what is the biggest and strongest, most powerful people, person, things in your life. Because you're afraid. Now, you're comparing that with Jesus. Is Jesus, omnipotent God, deserve your fear than other people and things? A consequence? The bigger fear will lead the bigger hope. So you don't put hope on those things that will pass away. It strives us to God Himself. It give us the bigger hope. And you're trusting Him with greater faith. And as a result, we have deeper love to Christ. That is how you love Jesus. Atwell said in his books, this title, When People Are Big, God Is Small. He said, all experiences of the fear of man share at least one common feature. People are big. And they have grown to idolatrous proportion in our lives, guys. Think about people, things that's bothering you so much. You're thinking about them because of that person, you lost sleep. And those are the people become the idol, the ultimate God in your life. And at that time, Jesus is not your king. And I hope at that time, you remember going to this passage, remember on Easter service, you remember what Mark tried to tell you. These ladies experienced Jesus. They were afraid. And you, when you experience Jesus, you should also be afraid. As if I'm afraid Jesus, if I fear Jesus, do I still need to bother fear this person? I think you have the ultimate answer now. These idols, people control us. Since there's no room on our heart to worship both God and people, we are created to worship. And in your heart, the ultimate seat has to be God. If someone else is, then God is not there. Whenever people are big, God is small. How big is Jesus to you? Not church. Not your community group. Not your family. But God Himself. This great fear, astonishment was holding them, but it is not the end. Matthew gives us a little bit more. Matthew said they have fear and great joy. They're so afraid. Yes, this is God, but at the same time, He is our Savior. That is wonderful. Dear church, let's end here. End with fear to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your resurrection. Jesus, you are not a dead prophet. You are not a dead king. You are a living God. You are a living king. You're fully man, fully God. Our logic cannot fully comprehend. But that's okay, because this is the fact and this is the truth. Thank you, Lord. Help us to know you, not fitting you in our idea of what Jesus should be, but bringing us to your word and helping us to trust and believe who you are from your own very word. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.